Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, very good.
It's
Excellent.
been a minute since we saw you at, from the rally.
Oh my gosh. I know when you sent that to me, I went, "My Lord." Yeah,
This is a long time
that was a
ago.
long.
The cool thing is you've been working pretty much ever since then, nonstop on shows. So it just goes to talk about how, you know, how talented you are and what you brought to even something as this is you know, a guest star spot right on 90210 many years ago. You brought something very special. You know, we were talking about it last night, and then both the writers were just kind of blown away by what you were able to bring to this character.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did. It was the three of them. I think her arc was maybe three episodes or something. And she was an older student who had a small son, and she was finishing up her degree.
That's
And
right.
that's how they added me to the story.
Do
I
you
remember that.
remember auditioning for 90210 and how you got that and all? What was that process like for you?
I remember because I'm from the East, so I think I don't know what year that was. I can tell you
It's
just
got to
by
be
the
like 93,
times. Oh,
94, I would imagine.
yeah, I had just gotten here because I was bi-coastal. I was still in New York, then come. I live here a little bit, and then I go back home. This television was new for me because I come out of a major theater background, and then I did my first film out of New York, and then my agents asked me to move here. I did, and it was like maybe during the course of auditions, maybe my fifth or sixth, I'm not even certain, here in California. And when they said, "Oh, well, she has a three, she's recurring, so how would you be interested?" I said, "Absolutely." So
Yeah, that's a great
that
way to
was the thing.
get started in LA, right?
I know. Especially on that show, which was iconic. I mean, it was going toward iconic at the
Yeah.
time,
Well, were you aware of it? Did you know that it was a huge opportunity? I mean, you know, sometimes you don't watch the shows that you're going to be on. Did you know 90210 was a big deal?
I knew it was a big deal because it came out the gate like a flame,
Right.
in that sense. And all of the characters, all the Jason and Ian and Gabrielle and let's see, Shannon, all of them were able to. Sorry, I hear there's someone backing up in my driveway. I can hear them all. They kind of took off like rockets. And so I knew that part. And I think the show had been on for a little while before I did it. I think it's
Sure.
been on, it had been on for like 5, maybe 4
Three se
years or
three
something.
seasons. This is the fourth
Three seasons,
season, and this is they left high school and were in college, so there was some heavy college stuff happening, and that's where your character comes
Came in.
into play. Yeah.
And they were all lovely. I know Gabrielle and I talk, I spent some time talking to her after that. I haven't seen her in a while, but because she became president of the SAG-AFTRA Guild, so I'm just really proud of her in that sense. But just on the cursory, we're very she's just lovely, just a lovely person. I got to spend time and talk to her a little bit more than the others.
Sure.
That was a while ago. Yeah,
I mean, well, you worked with Jason a whole bunch on this. So
I
what and
did.
yeah.
No, he was lovely. But actors we meet, there was no problems or anything like that. I just mentioned Gabrielle because I've seen her since. And ascend
Sure.
to the presidency of
Well,
the
and there's a
ideal.
great scene. Well, first of all, what do you think about we're looking back on some of this stuff now, 32 years later, issues still exist. Some of this stuff that's being talked about in this
Which
episode,
is unfortunate.
you know, date
It's
rape is still
unfortunate.
happening. It's even more prevalent probably now than it was then, or the same. I don't know that it's improved. I mean, the you know, what's going on with women is horrific in some ways, you know, in a lot of ways. So, I mean, there is the time to be talking about, you know, this kind of thing. We could certainly see this in a college campus today, a march.
Yes, absolutely.
What is your
They were
thoughts
ahead of
on
their
that?
time.
Yeah.
They were ahead of their time then. Just kind of even the fact that women came together, young women, we all came together to march for a common cause, to protect one another, and also bring awareness to something. And then now we're still kind of in that vein of having to deal with it differently, but it's the same thing, pretty much. So I was really taken by that, and I love that they what they were able to show during that was the courage of I forget the character's name. Got it.
Laura, name. Or Kelly or
Laura.
Laura Kingman. Kelly Taylor. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of them showing the courage that it took to talk. Tracy Middendorf is just lovely, and she played it so well. In terms of, you know, just really trying to fit in at the same time.
Yes.
And also feeling like she wasn't embraced at the same. So we understood her motive, but then it was wrong. And then the other character came to his rescue and all of those things. So it's really complicated, but they made it personal so that people can not only just watch a march or a protest or something to bring something awareness to. They gave us a personal story so that if we're going to do that, that it makes sure it's something that is really happening and not because you're upset or you feel left out or you feel isolated or whatever. So they really, let's get to the point of the thing. So the gentleman that got the pie in the face, now he might be someone that we need to look out for.
Yeah, totally. We're and Steve, you know, and what I love too is I love how they show, we talked about this, like they show the two different versions of the account of what happened that night between Steve and the and Tracy Mittendorf's character. You know, yeah. They both have a different version and you get to see both of them, and somewhere lies the truth, but she does feel compelled and your character helps get it out of her. You're going to speak tonight.
Yeah.
And it becomes almost like a cancel, and like what maybe cancel culture would be like today in a way, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And his friend, Jenny Garth, and that's who I was looking for the name.
Yes.
The character I remember. But she coming to his aid and saying that he came to her so we can put the spotlight on the one that's the real perpetrator.
Yes.
Which is the young man that...
Paul Johansson's
character. Yeah, you can see his behavior was going in that direction. You know what I mean? And so...
Yeah,
or it may go in that direction. Let's put it that way.
For sure, and he was definitely. I mean, you mentioned Tracy Mittendorf and working with her in this. Always curious about coming into a show like this. Do you connect with the other guest actress in some way? Like we're in this shit together here now. Very intimidating.
Tracy and I did, which is very interesting. We did. We lost touch since then. Kind of little, hi Andy, Tracy here, Andy here, but not, we didn't stay close, but we did at that time work, and we had the same agent. We were with Paradigm at the same time. It's the STE at the time.
Yep.
And so we had the same agents and all that, and we, you know, would talk and all that. So the time that we were shooting, she was just a lovely person, very a lovely human being. I haven't seen her. I don't know. I think she moved somewhere.
I think she's in New Orleans or something now. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have not been able to get her to come on and talk about this. I don't know if people try to distance themselves from this series in some ways. I have no idea what it's about. You know, I'm just happy to be a part of the talking about it, you know. But she does some really lovely stuff with this. I mean,
she does.
Yeah.
She does.
I mean, was it intimidating to be on the set when you know that this is an iconic show, it's a big Fox show? I mean, it's going to be millions of eyeballs and whatnot. And I know you are capable of doing this kind of work, but still walking into the set and not knowing what is a Jason Priestley, what does that mean? What does it look like? What is it going to be like? What was that intimidating?
No, not at all. I guess because I come from a theater background with TL Drama. So I have friends who are, you know, movie stars and all that kind of stuff. So I knew that Jason was the heartthrob, kind of like the James Dean at that time. And he was lovely. He was very, very generous and lovely. And, you know, I'm sure he had a lot on his plate that he was trying to navigate himself, you know, to being new. He and Luke Perry, all, you know, that whole feeling of that must have been something for them. But they didn't make us feel... guest stars make us feel any different. We were embraces if we were on the show, which was quite lovely. And I think Jason was directing something. He didn't direct my episodes, but he was directing.
He was starting to get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things we noted is you know, how big the character is at the end when she's leading the march. And Charles, who I do the podcast with, that said that's really not an easy task for an actor to come and be sort of the, you know, the ringleader or the you know, the MC sort of, right, to get everybody together and whatnot. Did you sort of, I'm curious, from an acting perspective, was there somebody that you had in mind when you were doing this, or did you just go for it then? Like, who was your inspiration for being this sort of person?
Kind of all of the people who were trying to get to project change in the world. And I, for me, my backstory, I had to believe that this was something I had to do so that we can like be the change that we want to see. So I had to lead these people. I was organizing it, me and the other young lady, we were organizing it together. And so my job was to get everybody excited and prepared to hear, like tilling the soil, the land. So it was really not intimidating. It's just part of the story. So yeah. I just embraced the story and believed it, you know, which is what we do as actors. So
yeah.
It didn't, yeah.
It's, but you it look is
out in the audience, so everybody's just trying to be a part of it and be alive and be truthful. So that was good.
And you mentioned Gabrielle, and you and Gabrielle have some, I'm going to bring in Larry here, is going to say, one of the writers, he wanted to stop in and say hi.
Okay.
But you mentioned Gabrielle, and there is that like great scene with Gabrielle and the boyfriend when you're all in the little breakout room, I guess. I don't know, breakout circle.
Right.
So you did get to see her work and whatnot. So it must have been nice to be, you know, all those years later to be like, you know, I did a 90210. Right.
Yeah. It's so funny. I can tell you a story. I was at the drama bookstore. This is a couple of years, no, maybe 5 years ago. And I was coming out of the store and I was getting in my truck. And this guy stopped me on the corner and he said to me, 90210. He knew my character. He knew the year. He knew the season. And then he knew my name, which I was, oh my goodness. And I was just a guest star recurring on the show. That was it. But
you know. And you probably had to be like, yeah.
I was looking at him like, what?
Yeah.
So if I got that, I can imagine all the other, the lead characters, what they must get. You know?
But so did you get any of that right after the series aired? Did you get some of that like right after the episode aired? Or
just friends, you know, calling and saying good job, you know, those things that they do. But in terms of a person, a fan.
No, that must have been
later,
intense.
That was way after the show had gone off the air.
Yes.
I was like, my God.
These people are obsessed. It's great, though. Hey, Larry, good to see you, man.
Andy, so glad you could join. I mean, you know, we got to really appreciate your work. Larry. It was wonderful. You know,
thank
obviously you were a young
woman. You wrote it.
Well, I certainly wrote on it. Chip Johansson was the accredited writer, but we all worked on it. And especially, you know, especially that part, I'm sure Chuck had a lot to do with. But yeah, it's amazing watching it again, how relevant it felt. And I wanted to ask you, I don't know if Pete already asked you, you got to work with an actress called Tracy Mittendorf,
who plays Laura. We just started talking about her. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I didn't hear. I'm just curious because she won't come on the show. What was she like to work with there?
Lovely. Remember? Just a lovely human being. And after we shot, we were trying to like have coffee or something. We may have, maybe. But I think she was just getting used to being in California, like me, because I was by coastal at the time as well, coming from New York. I'm not sure what part of the, I don't know if she was from California. I'm not certain. I feel like she was from somewhere else, but just lovely. And we stayed in touch and then we kind of fell out of touch because we had the same agent pretty much. So I knew what she was up to. We would send an email or something like that, but that was the extent of it. So just now Pete told me she was in New Orleans. I was like, oh.
That's
So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought she was still
She does such a great job in this. I mean, just
lovely, dimensional,
high tension
actress.
Wire. Yeah, really good. Yeah. And you've had such an amazingly long career. We all looked at your IMDb and went, oh my God, she was working 10 years before 90210, and then she's still working. So God, you know, you are a show person. You really have you've done it. Your mom and daddy be proud. but yeah, it was fun, you know,
a lot too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like a lot of theater, here.
Mm-hmm. But this episode, you know, watching you take charge there like you did, it really gave so much authenticity to everything. It really just seemed so real. Like you just jump right in there. That's amazing.
Good.
And you got to work with one of our famous directors, James Whitmore Jr., who's a fantastic
director. Yes, I loved his father. So I had a little conversation about his dad and he just loved that I remembered his father. He said, you know who my father is? Of course I know who your father is. But that face How can you not know who his dad is?
I know.
God rest. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was something else. And James is still working. He does all the NCIS stuff all the time.
Fantastic director, and to work on this, yeah. You know, back then, it's really a great episode. One of the reasons is because of James Whitmore Jr. and what he brings to the various scenes and the flashbacks and all this kind of stuff with you and whatnot. But we did get into some of this.
Lovely.
Yeah. Larry, anything else that you have?
No, just so thrilled you could come and join us, because that's just part of the fun for the podcast, is reuniting with these old colleagues and everyone taking a little bit of a victory lap, because the show has sustained. Like you said, you've been recognized recently, long after the show. Well, luckily you didn't play like a villain character, because we have people who have been on who, as I say, they had to serve the show in a certain way, and they're not really the most, doesn't come off really well, their character. they're a bad guy, so to speak, and people right. take it well, people take it personally. Like, and I always wonder if that's what happened to Tracy, because she was such a loose cannon on the show, and so dangerous that people just say, oh, she's crazy, I don't want to stay away from her. So somehow the whole experience became toxic for her.
No, I hope not.
We had a guy who was a would-be rapist of Donna Martin, of our Tori Spelling character, and he actually, someone called the police on him in a food court, because they recognized, they thought he was there. They thought they mixed, he was on Cops.
They mixed up the shows. They mixed up the shows. They thought he was like on Cops, or what was that show years ago where they would like mystery, Unsolved Wanted. Mysteries or something.
America's Most Wanted. Yeah.
Yes, America's Most Wanted. Yes. They confused the show.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And of course, one of our characters who, Jamie Walters, who, his character kind of pushes Donna down the stairs, and she's, it's an abusive relationship, and he never lived it down. He was a musician. People would boo at his shows.
Yes, it's really something. Thankfully, brutal. But Larry, did you know that this was a reoccurring role that she had? She did.
I know, and I was going to say, I know she did Greek to Me.
Yeah.
And let me explain that, because Chip also wrote that one. And as writers, when you introduced a character, if they came back again, you got paid.
Right.
A character payment. So if someone did a good job, we always would like lobby for them to come back again. They wanted to get more money. So yeah, it was a character payment thing, but God bless. That's how it works. Sometimes it works in your favor.
Yeah. So she did something I just watched it this morning with her and Jason, when Jason's thinking about running for president or whatever it is, and they have And she had a, I think
the, lovely.
She has a daughter, right? On the your character has a daughter in the.
The daughter has character, but I don't think we ever saw her. That was the backstory. Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Kind of giving me a foundation to work from, but it was a fun show to do. Very popular. The show.
Yeah. Well,
do you feel that
before social media too? Before anyone really could get out there.
Did the show help you? As you were getting here in LA, you did the two or three 90210s, and then you come on, and there you're going in to do more work. Did it help you in the process in any way, getting your footing, maybe even just being here in LA and working on such an LA show?
When they used to have meetings with, casting directors, because I was fairly new here to California at the time, coming from New York, they said, oh, I see you did 90210. So they would see that on the resume. And then, but they just know from your background, what you see in the resume, 90210, that means that you have a certain quality or a certain ability, because the show is, they really want to keep it at a high level. So they're not going to cast anybody.
Funny. For actors, it was a good credit. For writers, it was a bad credit.
Really?
Because I'm sure for a Spelling show, no one had respect for it. I told you. I mean, I finished 128 of them and came out, and my agent, I was trying to get a new agent at, I guess it was CAA, and they went, oh, it's just too bad you didn't do a good show.
Oh, wow.
And I never worked for Fox again. I mean, it was like,
that's crazy.
But that was a stigma. There was a stigma attached to Spelling shows, that they were shallow. I mean, you look at the show, there's no way this is shallow. I mean, look how there's so many different things in this going on in this show. And the resolution, of course.
Especially in the early seasons, it was really strong. Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like Charlie's, they thought Charlie's Angels and all of those were
okay. Those are bad credits.
It's the
those
island.
Are bad credits. Yeah. That was used as a slur. Oh, you're like a spelling writer. Okay.
Andy, what did you work on recently? What is something that someone can see you in? And I know that you've got some recent stuff that's going on.
I just did two episodes of The Orville, which I played that one of the admirals that I just love, Seth, Lord have mercy. But I had such a ball, and she's such a powerhouse and just an extraordinary role. I've been recurring on 9-1-1 as well. I did a piece called Gordita Chronicles. I went to Puerto Rico to shoot that. That was the end of last year. Just did 9-1-1 actually 3 days ago. And nice. So I've been working, but the Orville, I'm really proud of. If you get a chance to see Admiral, the storyline that Seth wrote was just extraordinary. About, because you know everything takes place in outer space, but that's my first out of space show, so that was fun.
Nice.
Where I got to wear, you know, the Star Trek kind of looking thing. But
yes.
But that one I was really very proud of. So
cool. We'll make sure.
Continuing on, kind of going, you know, moving on.
Great career. Yeah.
You're a powerful actress, and you get put into these roles because of the power and the strength that you bring to the characters, and it's something that we noticed in the watching the episode.
Yeah, the presence, a really great strong presence. I mean, just
thank you, guys. Attention. Thank you. When my manager sent this to me, I went, "Oh, that's so lovely." They were so yes, but the confusion was. He put tomorrow in it, and he didn't tell me he had gotten that the day before. So sorry about that.
No, all good. This is all good. So thank you so much for your time here this morning, Andy.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you around the track.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.